بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion on the three fundamental principles, and we discussed in the classes before the emergence of the call to Islam in Mecca by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and then the migration to Medina, and we discussed that the Hijrah, the migration, means migration from the land of Shirk and Kufr to the land of Islam, and that the author, rahimahullah, mentioned that this is an obligation upon the Ummah. And it continues until the last hour. Hijrah in the language is derived from al-hajr, which means abandonment. And the Shaykh, rahimahullah, said that migration from the land of Shirk to the land of Islam. Now, the land of Shirk is the land where the signs manifesting Shirk are upheld, and the signs manifesting Islam, such as the Adhan, the prayer in congregation, the Eid prayers, the Jum'ah prayers, are not commonly and universally established. And not established commonly and universally to exclude those signs of Islam that are established restrictively, such as by the Muslim minorities in the lands of the unbelievers. These lands do not become the land of Islam due to the signs of Islam that the Muslim minorities establish therein. You have to remember this distinction. This is a restriction which is important. So these lands do not become the lands of Islam due to the signs of Islam that the Muslim minorities established therein. As for the land of Islam, then it is the land where these signs are established commonly and universally. And therefore this takes away the corrupt definition by the ignorant, excessive Khawarij adherents and followers who claim that if a ruler does not rule by the rule of Allah, then this becomes a land of kufr. And therefore they conclude nowadays that there is even no Muslim state whatsoever because of their imputing kufr without verification and without details concerning every individual ruler. So you have to be careful concerning these definitions, lest you fall into this serious misunderstanding and corrupt, actually, understanding. Now, the Shaykh, rahimahullah, said that this is obligatory upon every believer to perform hijrah when he is not able to manifest his deen in the land of the unbelievers. And in this case, if he is unable, then his deen, Islam, will not be complete until he performs hijrah. Why? Because this is in accordance with the basic fundamental principle that whatever is essential for the attainment of an obligation is itself obligatory. The Shaykh, rahimahullah, cited the verse as a proof for the obligation to migrate on those who are unable to establish the deen in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 97 to 99. إن الذين توفاهم الملائكة ظالمي أنفسهم قالوا فيما كنتم قالوا كنا مستضعفين في الأرض قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتهاجروا فيها فأولئك مأواهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا إلا المستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان لا يستطيعون حيلة ولا يهتدون سبيلا فأولئك عسى الله أن يعفو عنهم وكان الله عفوا غفورا. As for those whom the angels take in death while they are wronging themselves as they stayed among the disbelievers, even though immigration was obligatory for them, they, the angels, say to them, in what condition were you? They reply, we were weak and oppressed on earth. They, the angels, say, was not the earth of Allah spacious enough for you to immigrate therein? Such men will find their abode in hell, and what an evil destination. Except the weak ones among men, women and children who cannot devise a plan nor are able to direct their way. For those there is hope that Allah will forgive them. And Allah is ever oft pardoning, oft forgiving. So this is a proof that those who don't migrate, even though they are able to do so, will be rebuked by the angels who take their souls. And they will say to them, was Allah's earth not spacious enough for you to migrate therein? And with respect to the weak ones, those who are unable to migrate, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pardoned them due to their inability to make the hijrah to migrate. And Allah does not place a burden on any soul greater than it can bear. And also he cited the verse, يا عبادي الذين آمنوا إن أرضي واسعة فإياي فاعبدون. سورة العنكبوت chapter 29 verse 56. O my slaves who believe in me and my messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, indeed my earth is spacious, so flee away from whoever prevents you from obedience to me and make your worship sincere, and therefore worship me alone. And Al-Imam Al-Baghawi rahimahullah said concerning this ayah that this ayah was sent down with regard to the Muslims who were in Mecca who did not migrate, and Allah addressed them with the title of Iman. So here the Shaykh rahimahullah is reporting this quote from Al-Baghawi in meaning. And that the evidence for hijrah from the sunnah is the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا تنقطع الهجرة حتى تنقطع التوبة ولا تنقطع التوبة حتى تطلع الشمس من مغربها. And the proof for the immigration found in the sunnah is in the hadith, the immigration or migration will not be discontinued until repentance is discontinued. And repentance will not be discontinued until the sun rises from its place of setting. I mean, that will be at the time when acceptance of righteous deeds comes to an end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states regarding this in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 158. يَوْمَ يَأْتِ بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلُ أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا. Do they then wait for anything other than that the angels should come to them, or that your Lord should come, or that some of the signs of your Lord should come? This portents of the hour, example, arising of the sun from the west. The day that some of the signs of your Lord do come, no good will it do to a person to believe then, if he believed not before, nor earn good through his faith. Now, concerning the traveling to the land of kufr, to the land of disbelief, there are conditions which the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned from them, that the person has knowledge in order to repel doubts, the person has knowledge in order to repel doubts, and second, that the person adheres to the deen such that it will prevent him from following desires, and that thirdly, he has a need to do so. There is a need for him to do so. Then he, rahimahullah, said, if these conditions are not present, then it is not permissible to travel to the lands of the unbelievers. Why? Because of the trials and the insight, the inclination and the strong environment of evil, and thus this may be a very serious threat on the person in terms of issues of desires and issues of doubts. And if there is a need, for example, medical treatment, or to acquire certain specific technical knowledge which is not present in the Muslim land, and that the person has knowledge and he adheres to the deen, then in this case there is no harm in that. What about tourism? Traveling to the lands of the unbelievers for tourism, this is not a need. If it's to be done, then this can be done in the lands of Islam. And as to the issue of residing in the lands of the unbelievers, this is very dangerous. Upon the Muslim's religion, his deen, on his deen, on his character, his behavior, his manners. Many had went or had gone to the lands of the unbelievers, and they returned with doubts and corrupt behaviors, as shameless folk, and some even as apostates, and some as apostates, disbelief. We seek Allah's refuge. And they came denying the deen of Allah, and they came also mocking it and its people. And the Shaykh rahimahullah said that the residing in the land of unbelief has two fundamental conditions. First, that the person's deen will be safe, such that he has sufficient knowledge and iman, and strong resolve, as will satisfy one that he will remain firm upon the deen and beware of deviating or corrupted away from the deen. And therefore also he stressed, rahimahullah, regarding the issue of hate to kufr and of the kafirs, the legal hate, and the love for the mu'mineen, the believers, for iman and the believers. These are part of the creed of the believer. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Mujadila 58:22, لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يودون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم. You will not find any people who believe in Allah on the last day having love for those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, and take them as wholehearted friends. even if they be their fathers or their sons or their brothers or their tribe. And from the Sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever loves a people is from them, and a person is with those whom he loves. And he ﷺ said, every person will be with those whom he loves. The second condition, that he is able to openly manifest his deen, such that he can establish outer signs of Islam without being prevented. So he should not be prevented from establishing the Salah, nor the Jum'ah prayer, nor the Jama'ah prayers, the congregational ones, if others are found such that the congregational and Jum'ah prayers can be established. Nor should he be prevented from zakah, from giving the annual due charity, fasting and hajj, and the rest of the rites of Islam, if he is not able to establish that, then it is not permissible for him to reside there. Rather, migration from such a place is obligatory. Then, as we mentioned last night, after these two fundamental conditions are met, residing in the land of kufr falls into the following categories. First category: person resides to call to Islam and to encourage people to enter into Islam. This is a type of jihad, striving in Allah's cause. And it is therefore a communal obligation. However, with the condition that the person must be able to establish the call, so that there is no one who will prevent it or prevent the people from responding to it. The second category, he resides there in order to study the conditions of the unbelievers and to become aware of their matters, the correct matters of belief and false and futile worship, manners of behaviors, deviations and so forth, so that he can warn against that. And that this is also a type of jihad, because it covers warning against unbelief and its people, which comprises an encouragement to Islam and its guidance . Again, this is conditional upon his being able to attain his goal without producing a greater harm upon himself. If he cannot attain this goal due to his being prevented from revealing what they are upon and from warning against it, then there is no benefit in the residing there. Also, if everything is met but his staying in this situation produces a greater evil on him, for example, they may respond by abusing Islam and the Messenger ﷺ and the scholars of Islam, then one must withhold from this action, as we are commanded in the Quran. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 108, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ كَذَلِكَ زَيَّنَّ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ عَمَلَهُمْ ثم إلى ربهم مرجعهم فينبئهم بما كانوا يعملون. The third category is due to the need of a Muslim state. For example, to maintain diplomatic relations and with the state of the disbelievers working in embassies, the like. And the fourth category, the person resides there for some personal and permissible need, business, medical treatment. And this is dependent upon the need. And the ulama, may Allah have mercy upon them all, stated in their works that it is permissible to enter the lands of the unbelievers for business. And they quote some reports from the Sahaba, radwanullah alayhim, in this regard, or in that regard. The fifth category, residing there for studies, due to a need. But this is more dangerous, more damaging to a person's religion and character. Because the student will feel in a position, always an inferiority position with regard to his teacher. So this can bring forth satisfaction with their views and opinions and manners, so that he imitates them. Also, the student feels for his teacher, a need for his teacher, which will lead to love for him and to outwardly accept or outward acceptance of the deviation and misguidance. Furthermore, the student should be intellect, not sending young students, those who have limited intellect, because this will be very dangerous on their deen. Also, it's dangerous for the ummah and the societies where they will return to, and they will spread the poison which they receive in these lands. And this is something witnessed and real, that the student should have sufficient knowledge of the deen as to enable him to distinguish between truth and falsehood. And also, he must be adhering to the deen so that it will protect and preserve him from unbelief and wickedness. And that there is a need for knowledge that he resides there in order to attain some special kind of knowledge not present in the Muslim lands. And the sixth category is, he resides there to take that place as a place of residence. And this is even more serious and dangerous than what preceded, because of the complete association with the people of Kufr. And because he will feel that he belongs to that land. And this would entail alliance, helping, and love, and so forth. And his family will grow and be educated amongst the unbelievers. And it will be very difficult to correct them on the behavior from Islam. For this reason, the danger can be to the extent that they may follow their beliefs and worship. And in fact, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever associates with the mushrik and resides along with them, then he is like them. Also, we know from the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, I am free from responsibility for every Muslim who resides amongst the mushriks. They said, O Messenger of Allah, why is that? He said, the campfire of each of them should not be close enough to be visible to the other. Then how can a believing person be pleased to live in the land of Kufr, where the signs of unbelief are displayed openly and where judgment is for that other than Allah and His Messenger? It is very dangerous for him and for his family and for the children with respect to their deen and their behaviors and manners. And this brings the end of the subject concerning the immigration. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. That remains to be mentioned, that There will be one more class, and inshallah ta'ala we'll be done with the three fundamental principles. And inshallah ta'ala it will be complete by next week. So now we can think about another subject inshallah to replace in the time for this great book. والحمد لله الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات.